real estate is the biggest asset most of us will ever invest in. I just wanted to open people's eyes a little bit more to how it can build wealth for you.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Unpack podcast, where we chat about all things finance and property. Today we'll be unpacking what exactly do real estate agents do, how do they make their money, and how to qualify to become one. Before I allow our special guest to introduce herself, I just wanted to remind you guys to join our Clubhouse Club, Unpacking Life Matters, where we invite a special guest at 7 p.m. Central African Time every Friday, and we discuss all things property, finance, and life in general. So do join us. Hi, Carrie. Can you please introduce yourself?
My name is Carrie Gatto, and I currently live in Stoneham, Massachusetts, which is just about 15 minutes north of Boston on the east coast of the U.S. And I'm a real estate agent and investor. I've been in real estate for about 10 years. And my background where I've lived has brought me to many different places. I was born originally in the UK in Northern Ireland. My mom is Northern Irish. My dad's American. And so we lived there and in England until I was 9, and then moved over to the US where we lived in upstate New York and up in Bangor, Maine. And then I went to college at Boston College and kind of settled down here in the Boston area, but then went and moved to LA in California for 4 years and moved back. So I've been around a little bit. And also as a child, I was very lucky that my parents traveled a lot and brought me everywhere. So we explored all over Europe, did road trips and camping, and it gave me the travel bug. I also went to Tenerife as a little girl, and that was one of my favorite trips. I loved how just exotic it was. And so now that I'm in real estate, I have been settled down in this area now for over 6 years. But like I said, I'm also an investor. So I currently own a 2-family that we live in one half and rent out the other, which is great because the tenant covers our mortgage. And I like to encourage and educate my clients about things like that, investing and saving and building a financial future, a foundation based on their real estate holdings. And we just bought a duplex last year as well in Maine, which is a couple hours north of here. And I hope my next investment will be in Mexico.
Oh, that's so nice. Interesting how you have an Irish background, because I was living in the US for 3 years working for like the same company. And then I transferred to Dublin. So I stayed in Dublin for 2 years, and then till I decided, okay, I'm going to go solo and freelance. And that's when I left my company. But I used to live in Dublin, and Northern Ireland is one of my favorite places because I'd always take the train and go to Belfast and do stuff from Belfast. But that's very interesting. So I want to know more about becoming a realtor. So a realtor, like in other countries in the UK and South Africa, that's also known as an estate agent. So how long does it take to qualify to become one, and what kind of skills are needed?
Sure. So it does vary a bit by state in the US anyway. But when I got my license 10 years ago, it only required 24 hours of class. And so I actually did it in one weekend. I did 2 12-hour days because I was so motivated. I was a new mom, and I decided to quit my job, which was working at a talent agency, and my hours were 9 to 7. And I couldn't, you know, as a new mom, you want to be with your child. So that's why I went into real estate. And so, yeah, I knocked it out in one weekend. And now I know in the past 5 years or so, they've increased it. So I think it's like 48 hours now to get the training. And then you take a test, which you have to pass. And I think you have to get 70% to pass. And that's the procedure.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. Can you share more about like the home buying process in the US? So I know it's probably quite different according to state, but what is it more like? Like, what is the process of buying if for somebody who doesn't know?
Yeah, sure. Well, usually somebody needs to get pre-approved by a mortgage broker before they can actually buy a home, you know, unless they're a cash buyer. So they would talk to, the first person they would talk to would usually be a mortgage broker or a lender that would pre-qualify them. In other words, look at their employment history, their income, their credit, and their assets versus their debts. And then they would issue a pre-approval letter stating that they would be able to indeed finance a home and close on the home successfully. And then that would also include a price point. So from there, then the buyer would want to talk to a realtor, a real estate agent like myself, and look at what's available in the markets that they're interested in at their price point. We have the MLS, which is multiple listing service. And basically that's a database for all the available listings. So all the agents and the brokers in any given region or any market will upload their listings to the database. I have a service to my clients where I look at off-market properties, meaning those that are not on the MLS. So I'll talk to other agents in my network, and I'll even go door to door, make phone calls to find off-market opportunities as well, especially because the market in my area is so hot right now. It's very competitive. So that's kind of something else that I do. But once a buyer finds a home, I will write up an offer for them based on their terms. And usually there's two contingencies, one for inspection and one for the financing. So the buyer has basically those two contingencies built in to protect them, that if there's a physical issue with the home, when they inspect it, they can withdraw the offer. Or if they can't get their financing for some reason that they didn't anticipate, they can withdraw the offer as well. But as long as everything goes smoothly, it's usually 45 days, like 6 weeks to close on the home. And or if it's cash, then it might be quicker, might be a quicker turnover. Right. But and in my state in Massachusetts, there's an attorney who handles all the paperwork. We're what's called an attorney state. So the buyer also needs an attorney to review the purchase and sale agreement, all the documents and addendums, and make sure that everything is working for the buyer in their best interest, which is really helpful. So, and then at closing, everything goes through, the buyer gets the keys, and everything goes to record and made official at that closing.
Wow. Okay. It's very similar to the UK and in South Africa. So I want to know more about your book, So You Can Have It All. It's available on Amazon, and I saw we can buy it internationally on Kindle or order a paperback. So can you tell us more about what inspired you to write the book, and what can somebody expect to learn from this book?
Absolutely. So I, just through, you know, the years of working with buyers and sellers in real estate, it seemed like a lot of my sellers, especially the older generation that were selling off income properties, I mean, they had built so much wealth through their investments that they had made. And it was like their one regret was that they hadn't purchased more of them. Because when you're buying an income property, when you're buying it, it seems expensive. But then 20, 40, 60 years later, you're like, whoa, you know, these people were selling properties that had cost them like $10,000 when they bought them. And sure, they had to scrape together the funds to get them. And it seemed like hard. But looking back, it's like, my God, I wish we'd bought 5-10 more. And so I saw that side of things. And then I saw my buyer clients, a lot of times in the younger population, who weren't even kind of seeing that potential. In other words, they were, you know, stretching their budget, but they were only buying for their lifestyle that they wanted. They wanted, you know, beautiful condos that had all the, you know, best fixtures and things like that and looked pretty. But they weren't necessarily thinking about the investment side of the real estate purchase they were making. And because real estate is the biggest asset most of us will ever invest in, I just wanted to open people's eyes a little bit more to how it can build wealth for you and how anybody can become financially secure and even financially free through making smart decisions around real estate. And that's why I wrote it.
That's amazing. So I highly recommend getting Carrie's book on Amazon. I'll put the link in the description box and in my blog. So Carrie, tell me more about your job as a realtor. On a day-to-day basis, what do you do?
Yeah, great question. Well, it all depends, but mostly as a realtor, my primary job is to get business because I'm a sole, I'm actually an S corp, not a sole proprietor, but I'm my own boss. And so if I don't generate business, then I don't have any clients to serve. So my primary focus of each day is to make sure that I'm always initiating new conversations with new people and adding to my database, whether that's through networking or, calling sellers who maybe their listings expired off the MLS without selling and they need help. So I'll reach out to them or calling past clients. And today I was inviting past clients to a client appreciation event. And at this point, 10 years into the business, I get at least 90% of my business from repeat and referral kind of customers and clients. So I really do appreciate them and I try to show them all the time and keep in touch with them. So that's sort of the primary focus. And then once I've put a couple hours into that, then it's serving my current clients, making sure that I'm taking good care of them. So if they need to see a property, I'll set up showings. If we can't find anything on the market, like I said, I'll try to find something off market for them. And then potential sellers, I could be going to a listing appointment and checking out the property, giving an evaluation of the property based on the current market, or giving suggestions on how to improve the value and the marketability of the property for when they do decide to sell. And I also am doing a lot of webinars at the moment. So every 3 weeks or so, I'll have a live webinar with a different topic, whether it's preparing to sell a home or investing in real estate, the different ways you can do that. I have one that's especially for older people who are looking to downsize into a smaller property. So that's fun too.
If somebody wants to attend the webinar, how can they do that?
If they go to my Facebook or they can email me at carryteamcg@gmail.com. So it's CareyteamCG@gmail.com. I also, you can find me on Eventbrite. They're all listed there as well. Just plug in my name, Carrie Gatto.
So my last question for you is, what kind of questions should I, as a buyer or a seller, what should I be asking my realtor before I hire them?
Well, I think the first thing you want to determine is if they are local, full-time, and experienced, because in real estate, there you definitely see the 80-20 rule where 20% of the agents are doing 80% of the business. And a majority of them, because it is so easy to get in and get your license, majority of them are treating it as a hobby or a part-time job, or they really have, they're not experienced. So you need to determine that they are one of the 20% that are doing, that they're full-time, that they know the market that you're looking in intimately, like the back of their hand, and they're not just guessing when they're giving you information. Beyond that, I would say you want to make sure that do you have a rapport with them, I think is super important. You feel comfortable, you feel that they're trustworthy. Jump onto their website and their Facebook, make sure that they're presenting themselves well, because if they're not marketing themselves well, they're not going to market your home well. And a lot of times when, again, because even in, especially in a competitive market, it really matters when you have an agent that is representing you, whether you're buying or selling, that has a good reputation in that market. Because that sometimes can make the difference of whether your offer is accepted or how your listing is handled. I mean, I've seen it happen a lot of times. Like if you end up in a bidding war on a hot property and you're working with an agent that it kind of doesn't know how to properly submit an offer, or they're just not, they don't have a good reputation, you could really go to the bottom of the pile. And that's not what you want.
This was really insightful. I just want to thank you, Carrie, for taking the time to educate us. We really appreciate it. Love this episode? Make sure to visit our website www.unpack.co.za to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. If you found value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply told a friend about us, that would be helpful too. Thank you for listening.